Hello, that was our brother, Kurt Egger, and We Are Jacob Israel. That song is available in the Christogenia Forum. Don't ask me where. Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia European Fellowship Forum. First time in 3 weeks. It is Thursday, October 6th, 2011. I have a clip here I want to play from Ernst Zundel, and then I have a few comments before we get started. So, Otilia, I'd love to hear from you, and as soon as this is over, I'll turn your microphone on first, I promise.
Has ever analyzed why the German nation that had more Nobel Prize winners and more famous researchers and scientists and was one of the best educated countries in Europe turn on the Jews? Why did these good Germans turn on the Jews, who had more Jews living amongst them than even percentage-wise living in the United States today? Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Sure
Jews never asked themselves this question.
I'm sure I get the answer from you now.
Yeah, I can give you the answer.
Please.
Because they displayed the same voracious ethnocentrism, power-grabbing, influence-peddling, buying of politicians, dominating of the public airways and the public media in Germany and so on, that they display in the United States. And I'm not much of a prophet, but that much I can say based on history. That in the United States, mark my word, you will have Weimar conditions and you'll have solutions to the Weimar conditions. It will be very similar to what happened in Germany.
You mean the final solution will be...
You have
repeated in the United States?
Whatever the Holocaust war, you've got one in your future.
Really?
That's right. Why? Because...
How soon, by the way?
How soon? That depends entirely on how long the people, the power structure in the Western world is going to stay on top. I mean, if you look at East Germany, how quickly it collapsed, or the former Soviet Union, how quickly it collapsed, with all its secret services, spy agencies, NKVD, and Stasi. It imploded so quickly, I have no idea. But there is no doubt in my mind that if you look at history and the trends in history, the United States is heading in the same direction. And there's only one difference. In the United States, there are enough guns out on the street and enough lawlessness in the public and a revolutionary spirit that founded that republic. This is not Germany, where the only people that had guns were hunters and soldiers and policemen. The United States is armed to the teeth. They have a spirit of revolution in their blood. They are heroes, are people who turn against what they call tyranny and foreign occupiers and so on.
Well, I'll try to obtain more of that Ernst Zundel interview when I can, but basically... Zundel is saying that we would have Weimar Republic conditions in America, and I think that that he might be a little off. I think that we do have Weimar conditions in America, and we have had. And a couple of years ago, 23 months ago to be more precise, I wrote an essay on my blog called The New Weimar Republic and a Very Brief and Partial History of Modern Christendom. And in that, I tried to make it, you know, to compact a whole lot of history into a few paragraphs. But I discussed how the Jews and through intermarriage with the nobility, and they were able to gain that, to get to that point where they could intermarry with the nobility through their usury and their mercantilism, and to elevate their class from the ghettos to the houses of parliament in Europe in a few short generations. I would say that they did it in maybe as few as two generations, that they went from the emancipation of the Jews on the continent to occupying the houses of parliament and the legislators and the courts and everything else. And the only way that could be, in my eyes, is because it is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I'm going to quote a couple of paragraphs from my essay, the New Weimar Republic, and yet, you know, I didn't come up with this idea first. I wrote this essay independently, but I know that I've seen the reference to America being the New Weimar Republic also on Kevin McDonald's website, on the Occidental Observer website, one or the other. And I'm going to quote, "This Jewish war against true liberty and Christendom in America began long before the 1950s. In fact, at the same time that the Jews were using their propaganda in company with staged operations, such as the Lusitania and Pearl Harbor, to incite America into joining the wars of Europe, they were also infiltrating Christian institutions here in order to pervert them. While the profits from usury bought out the department chairs in all of our academic institutions, so that by the 1930s, many of the American universities were already leaning far to the left, they also planned something much more treacherous and fully executed the plan, the total corruption of Christian American theological thinking. In 1890, a small-time Dallas pastor started a Bible correspondence course which gained quite a following and was taken over by the Moody Bible Institute in 1914. This pastor had also been part of a group which sought to revive the much earlier Niagara conferences of Pentecostal charismatic Charles Darby. Influences by the work of men such as Darby and the dispensationalist J.R. Graves had a tremendous impact on the formulation of this pastor's doctrines. With a few books under his belt and having developed much greater aspirations, he left his Dallas congregation in 1901. This pastor went to New Hampshire, where he purchased a plot of land and planned to build on it, and then on to the big city, New York, where he was admitted to the very exclusive Lotus Club. That is not an accident. Founded by the Jewish attorney Samuel Untermeyer and others. Untermeyer himself was on the committee which approved this pastor's application. His name was Cyrus Schofield, and no earthly door was closed to him from this time forward. The Schofield Bible, and in part, and I believe in large part, the Bullinger Bible, and Bullinger was also a friend of the Zionists. The Schofield Bible has done much to corrupt modern Protestant theology, and the Catholic theology has been long corrupted anyway. Today, Christians care much more for Jews than they do for their fellow Christians. The book of Malachi is a dialogue. The book of Malachi is actually, in many respects, or at least it contains portions of what I would have to identify as Socratic dialogue, which is attributed, of course, to Socrates. Well, Socratic dialogue is a misnomer. It should be called Biblaic dialogue, because Socratic dialogue is found throughout the books of the prophets long before Socrates ever had laid the pencil to the parchment. The burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. And we open with a question from God, from God. And then we're going to see a question from Israel, or two. I have loved you, saith Yahweh, yet you say, why or how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith Yahweh, yet I love Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons, or the Arabs, of the wilderness. Well, Yahweh states that he loves Jacob. And Jacob states, how have you loved us? Wasn't Esau Jacob's brother? Why would that be? This prophecy is a prophecy of our very own time. And I think it fits the conditions of 70 AD. When the people of Judea, many of them who were Jacob and many of them who were Esau, I'm sure that the Israelite people of Judea wondered why Jerusalem was being destroyed by the Romans. They just didn't get it then either, that a lot of those Edomites were hated, or all the Edomites, a lot of those people were Edomites, and they were hated by God. So what we have here is Jacob expressing wonder about Esau. And people today do not understand scripture on these terms because they can't identify Jacob and they can't identify Esau. Why would this be? This would be because the true Israelites, the true children of Jacob, are indeed the Anglo-Saxon and related peoples of the world, the white Christian nations. The true descendants of Esau are, in large part, the people that we know today as Jews. And today, through the Jewish corruption of Christianity, we have this exact circumstance. Yahweh loves Jacob, and Jacob has his concern for Esau. And the hearts and minds of most Christians are directed towards the Edomite Jews. And the Edomite Jews did that by convincing Christians, and the Scofield Bible is partly responsible and one of the tools that they used to do this, and the Bullinger Bible, with all of its notes straight out of the Masorah, is partly responsible and also just one of the tools that they used to do this. The Jews have convinced Christendom that they're the children of God, when in truth, and in historical and genetic fact, the children of Israel are the white Christian nations. So we see the perfection of the prophecy, that Yahweh says to Jacob, I have loved you, but Jacob cares about Esau. And that is quite profound. At the end of the prophecy of Malachi, we find that the spirit of Elijah would be sent upon the children of Israel, and the hearts of the children would be turned to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers would be turned to the children. Malachi means so much to us today because that's talking about this very time. And we only find that spirit in the Christian identity message. You won't turn the hearts of the Edomites to the fathers of our covenants. Because the Edomites, they don't care about the covenants. They think they're their own Messiah. They don't care about the promises of God. They are rejected by God. They are the people upon whom Yahweh has indignation forever. And we will see that in Malachi 1:4. And we continue this dialogue. And Yahweh says, whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Well, Malachi was a prophet of the early Second Temple period, when Judah had returned to rebuild the places left desolate by the Babylonian invasions. And that can't be the fulfillment of this. And the only other time that anybody but Muslims had gone back to Jerusalem and built anything, or gone to Palestine and attempted to rebuild anything, is today in the Jewish religion of Zionism. We have Esau going back to rebuild the desolate places. Yes, there were attempts in the Middle Ages of the Crusaders to go back to Palestine, and they built a couple of small castles, but they didn't get very far and they didn't last very long. What we have here in this Jewish Zionist movement is the fulfillment of Malachi 1:4. So we see that the book of Malachi has every application for us today. Every implication for us today. It's wholly related to us today. And Yahweh promises that he's going to throw down the desolate places that Edom rebuilds. And this is a strong challenge to people the people of British Israel. Last night I was on Republic Broadcasting in prime time, which was a very good opportunity, I think, to expound Christian identity truth to a different audience. But there were a lot of people who were already Christian identity or leaned towards Christian identity who called in. And one of them was from England, and he was a British Israel adherent. And hopefully he'll visit my website because I suggested it to him. It is typical of those in British Israel who believe that the Jews are Judah. And I pointed out the errors of British Israel to him. He didn't have much to say about it. But this is, British Israel, we have the same problem that we have in American Protestantism, where they believe that these Jews are the children of Israel and that what they're doing in Palestine is a good thing, rebuilding Palestine. And I explained last night that I believe that this heresy really, it took root with Edward Hein, where he sowed all the seeds of discord against Germany and the British Israel people really embraced the Jews and all of their propaganda, and that greatly assisted the Jews in their ability to make war against Germany in World War I and World War II, I believe. Because they had, that there were a lot of Christian identity or British Israel identity adherents in the British upper classes and nobility at the time. And that it seems to me that they would have been all for the Jewish plots against Germany, and history shows me that they were. Maybe some of the people in this forum today will have further comment on that, or can elucidate that more than I can, because I'm sure that some of you have much more knowledge about British Israel in the early 20th century than I do, but that's the way I see it. So we have the same problem in British Israel that we have in American Protestantism. They are, the white Christians in both of those groups are Jacob Israel. And they care more for Esau Edom. And Malachi is pointing that very thing out. I had covered this topic on Friday and Saturday on my programs and thought I'd go back over it today. And thought you might like to hear it. I would say that not only is America the new Weimar Republic, but we have those conditions again today in all of the European nations. I mean, there's no freedom of speech. I hope to write on that soon. And there's no freedom of speech, and there's no criticizing of the Jews. And all of the things that Germany rose up against in the 1930s, and the best way to see them are to read the speeches of Joseph Goebbels or to read Kurt Wiebe's little book, Germany and the Jewish Problem, the pornography, the smut, the fake news, the bad newspapers, the promotion of every vice, the alcohol, the drug use, they have all come to us through God's so-called chosen people. And Christians continue to embrace the Jews as the Jews destroy Christian culture and do everything they can to destroy God, to destroy Yahweh out of our lives. I would tell the British Israel people that it's time to wake the hell up. And of course, I have that same message for American Protestants. Okay, this is an open forum, and I'm going to, Otilia is just dying to talk to us, I hope, or at least she seems to be. Hello, Otilia.
Hello.
How you doing? Yeah?
I was thinking about, you know, I just started university, and I'm studying languages, German, Spanish, and English, and related what you said about that some white people tend to praise Jews. So I have this professor in German from Austria, and well, we started the class, and like in the first hour, I don't know how he came to talk about it, but he started talking about Jews and how great they are. And they are the holy people, and how great the English language is. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. And well, he, during the courses, he made a bit of commentary, like nasty words and how bad they were.
Well, right. That's all the typical Jewish propaganda, and you'll see that your professor, even in Romania, has been educated in all the typical Jewish propaganda.
Well, actually, in Romania, I had a teacher, a history teacher, who was like, I don't know if I told this before, but he always hated Jews, insulted Jews and Gypsies. And once we had a class about human rights, and he said something like, well, that's a Jewish invention, because not every bipedal animal can be considered a human. So I don't think every creature is, like, brainwashed.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, Romania, and I covered this with Sword Brethren when we did the podcast on World War II and Europe, on the Sunday night program that we were doing. In Romania and in Hungary, there were already anti-Semitic movements. There were all, I hate to use that term, but that's the term people understand, that there were already uprisings against the Jews in the 1920s and 30s, and they were getting ready to throw the Jews out of Romania. And I really think that when the Soviet Union and the United States and Britain defeated Germany in World War II, I really tend to think that Romania was handed over to the Soviet Union not only as war booty, but also as a way to punish the Romanian people for the rising anti-Semitism of the 1930s.
Well, yes, it could be. Although in Romania, I mean, I don't think in the Eastern country there wasn't this like white guilt about the Holocaust and all that it's usually very common in the Western world. I mean, in Romania, for instance, if I tell my mother like the Holocaust, she'll ask me what's that, because they don't have this culture. I mean, I never learned in school about that, to be honest. We have like another vision of Germany, not what Western country has. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you should write some of that down for the forum or something, because that would be real nice to have, you know, the witness of a Romanian and her mother, you know, in reference to that. It would, because people might see that.
It's not this culture of I don't know, the poor victims. Not even my friends, we never talked about this, we never heard about this.
Well, not for nothing. I mean, I'm not trying to put down Romania, but the United States and Germany are very rich nations. And the Jews see a huge cash cow in the United States and Germany, right? And I think that's why they've really played up the Holocaust the most in the countries with that have the most wealth. And they've squeezed us for every penny they can, and they're still squeezing Germany. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, well, between the wars, you know, Romania was a very rich country, which was developing very fast, but, you know, the communists came and everything was destroyed, everything.
Well, there was an article recently that maybe Matthew knows about it, that the Jews were opening up a lot of new cases about German concentration camps, that they're going to let me read this. I have this right here. The Jerusalem Post.
Oh.
This, as soon as I get rid of the Jew advertisement on the front page. The Jerusalem Post, October 6th, 2011. This was posted just an hour ago, maybe 2 hours ago. Yeah, you know, it says 1922, so that's about 2 hours ago. The criminal conviction, that this is the headline is German prosecutors to prosecute dozens of former Nazis. This is a brand new Jerusalem, breaking news, Jerusalem Post headline, right? The criminal conviction of Nazi concentration camp guard John Demjanjuk, or Demjanjuk, or however you pronounce it, in May prompted German prosecutors on Wednesday to reopen dozens of investigations and cases against guards who worked in the vast set of extermination camps during the Holocaust. They are still keeping this alive. They have to keep renewing this news about World War II. They have to keep renewing the iterance of these alleged crimes, which never happened, in order to keep the religion of the Holocaust going. It's kind of like Roman Catholicism. In order to keep the people deceived, they need a new apparition of Mary every couple of years. Well, here, what we need a new apparition of German crimes every couple of years to keep the religion of the Holocaust going.
No.
It's insane.
Absolutely.
Okay, we need a little more input than this if we're going to have an open forum. I'm sorry, Matthew, maybe you have something to say. Or
I'm careful about it, but it's indeed so. You have that irregularly, that the people must be kept dumb and dumb. Locally, I must say, most people are ignoring it at all. We are living here, and that has happened, and that is over. Not all people are really impressed about these so-called talkings and so-called this and that. And most people don't even hear it. They don't even get the information. That is now on the Jewish Post. But don't think about it as here in Germany. Anyone is listening to or reading the Jerusalem Post. When I see it, I'll just dump it. I don't want to see it. I know it's all betrayal. And as these German people not reading anything of English or whatsoever, they are not interested in all that sort of bullshit. So it will not harm the people by itself, straightforward.
But still, will the German people know about this? Won't they wonder about this? I mean, something eventually has to wake them the hell up. If I were a German citizen and read this, I'd think that there was a serious problem.
My brother lives in Germany, and he said that no one dare mention the word Hitler, and they don't mention anything to do with the war. So, you know, they've just been muted, whether they think about it privately. They've probably even taken it on board that what the Jew says is correct, because it's a taboo subject. And when a Jewish man can go over there and put on a musical about the great dictator parodying Hitler in the middle of Berlin, rises up against it, they probably all went to see it and thought what a funny thing it was. So people are very slow to realize that they've been hoodwinked.
Well, I guess so. I'm looking. I thought it was a more recent case, but that, you know, you said that they were afraid to mention Hitler. Well, in February 2011, a 30-year-old Canadian tourist was arrested for giving the Nazi, you know, the traditional Nazi salute in front of the Reichstag for a picture.
Yes, I remember that.
Well, which is. You know, a Canadian tourist, it could have been totally innocuous, right? He probably doesn't know a thing about fascism or a thing about National Socialism and just thought he was being funny and got arrested for it.
Absurd, but it is so.
Now, my sister-in-law was in the Eastern Germany when it was sectioned off, and they had the Stasi to consider. They had horrible lives. Well, recently, a young man came over from Germany to stay with my daughter because he was going to an English college for a short while. And my brother and sister-in-law were visiting, and he was a West German, and he absolutely looked down at his nose that she'd been in East Germany, and they didn't like one another at all. So even the Germans have this divide still going on between East and West Germany. I don't know what Bavaria man understands about that.
I do know that traditionally East Germany is more Slavic in character. The Wends that settled around Brandenburg, you know, in Brandenburg, and that's a large part of East Germany. I don't know if there's any new prejudices that have arisen since the Soviet era. Matthew.
Yeah, well. I have my family in Leipzig, and in one of the places 90 kilometers south of it. And what I can see, I am glad that I know these people, and I look at them, and I can see even on their faces and on my photographs that they are straightforward of the same family flock. They have the same traits in the faces. So that's all one flock. And they are just straightforward normal people, and a lot of them, they're very clever and informed. So I have very good experiences in Eastern Germany, not because of the original thing of Eastern Germany, but because a lot of them are indeed family. And they are very nice and informative. You can learn a lot of them. And I understood that meanwhile, certainly my own family then, they are going by bicycle and by train because they don't have these huge amounts of money not available. But they take the train and the bicycle, and they are traveling in Europe, throughout to Germany, Western Germany in this case, but even in Norway and in England and Scotland on holiday tours. And they are seeing the world, and they can tell you a lot more than my brother, or have been on a lot of places, and they can't even tell you where whatever they saw. But these people have a complete report about what they have been seeing. So they are extremely wise and useful. So I learned a lot of them. And they also told me how the life was in there, in the DDR. Well, the best thing is that it will never come back. But we say, what has been lowering? Was the wall lowered for them or for us? And we are having now the idea, slowly by time, that the Western Germany was worked down for it so low that they were having the same level as the DDR, that they could open the door to let them in. But it's for most of them, not all of them, unfortunately, but for most of them, it's a blessing that the border is now open, and then they can have a discussion and talk with their own fellow mates and their own people. And they do quite well.
Also, I know some of these people who got their freedom, they couldn't take it. And they got drunk, and they were going to drink, and they died, they killed themselves. Because this peculiar new type of freedom was too much for them. It was very difficult for them to understand such a thing. But she said, yeah, my husband did it. Again, as usual. Am I still in? Okay. I'm still in. So you have a variety of possibilities with these people from Eastern Germany, and that the standard German people are looking a bit low, at least from Eastern Germany. I can understand that they are wrong, for a lot of them are very well and very clever. Yeah. And certainly because we have a lot of people who work in these optical companies of Jena, etc. And they are very smart, very, very smart. And there are more of these engineers who have been doing their work, and still it's the same work which we can.
Well, Bavaria overheated his microphone again.
Yes.
It's any kind of thing that is connected to the server. Why this is, it feels that it just cuts you down. It's strange. That is not possible. I think they do it in Germany here. That is a sensor. My sensor. Yeah, and that's what I can say in the further bound. Oh, besides, before I get it, something important. Chris couldn't be in the evening because he is in a meeting in London. So he is saying, sorry, I can't come in. Right, back to the original theme.
I listened to your program today. I can't say her name, but that was, you were speaking about the Englishman phoning in. They were quite knowledgeable, I thought, a lot of those questions. And what a wonderful opportunity you were given there to expound the message, really. A lot more people might be coming to your website and growing in grace and knowledge.
Well, Chris DeGenia, I don't want to brag too much, but Chris DeGenia had, on Sunday it had 739 visitors, I think. But on Tuesday it had 806, and on Wednesday it had 902. So I don't know where it's going to end, right?
Wow, it's incredible.
The average, I had a server crash early in the month, which caused most of my sites to be down for almost 3 days, and that really cost me in the Alexa ranking, because I slipped to about 160-something thousand in the world. But I'm not yet, you know, I'm not concerned about that. I know it'll go back up. The entire month of September is what was a really, except for the server crash, it was a very good month.
Yeah.
And most days I had over 600 visitors, and it's picking up. I mean, I pray, right? It's not up to me. It's
no, absolutely.
But having been able to go on both Caroline Yeager's program, and then on Deanna, and especially at that peak time, which was what's his name, John Miller. I mean, that was a tremendous. Those two were tremendous opportunities, really, to get the message out.
Well, right. Carolyn is she's been really lovely, and we had a very good program Monday. I had a very good program with her on my talk show a few weeks ago. That program between Chris DeGenia and the Mein Kampf site, because she has, that revisionist historical following, I thought I'd post it there also. That program has almost 800 downloads right now. So that is a very well-received program. And the Deanna Spingola program yesterday, she's a very nice woman, and she's very accommodating. I know that she has a lot of people of different opinions about certain things, and I tried to address some of that yesterday. I kind of went after Ted Wieland a little bit yesterday because he had been on her program last month. And I hope he heard me. But because in the right wing in America right now, there are people who are trying to undermine the founders and the esteem of the founding fathers. And those same people are also trying to undermine the Constitution. And I really see this as an attack by the Jews to make the right wing, to make the conservative people of America more amenable to the idea of a constitutional convention. And it's being trumpeted in some areas, and it's being pushed for, and Ted Wieland is one of their shills. Ted Wieland's about to publish a book attacking the founders and attacking the Constitution. And I'm willing to bet that he's a Jew plant. And I'm willing to bet that if we have a constitutional convention in this country, we are going to lose the Second Amendment. And as soon as we lose the Second Amendment, we're going to lose the First Amendment. Because that Second Amendment is the only thing that's keeping our First Amendment. And they don't understand that. There aren't any guns in Britain and Germany, and neither is there any free speech. These idiots just don't understand that.
I have a question about the American Constitution. Is there written that English is the language of the country?
No, it's not written anywhere in our official documents about an official language. A lot of things, and this is what so many people don't understand, because we're so far removed. We have allowed the Jew to remove us so far from the culture of our fathers these last 80 years. There's a lot of things that are supposed to be self-evident, okay? The first paragraph of the U.S. Constitution, the preamble, states that the more perfect union and the security and all of that that the Constitution was seeking was to be left for themselves, meaning the original people who formulated it and the people who they were elected to represent, right? And their posterity. And by posterity, they meant their descendants, right? The Constitution is only for the descendants of the men that signed it and the people they represented. It's not for anybody else. Anybody that says otherwise is automatically unconstitutional.
Okay.
No ruling about the Constitution can be made outside of that, legitimately. And many rulings have been made outside of that, like the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment makes the Constitution in contradiction with itself. The 14th Amendment cannot be a legitimate amendment. And a lot of our laws are totally contrary to the idea of those men, those original people that won the revolution, right, that came out victorious against England, to those men and their posterity, period. And John Quincy Adams, and I pointed this out, stated that, the Constitution was for white people. When he said that the framers said that there would be one person in Congress for every 50,000 white people. How did he say that? It doesn't say the word white anywhere in the Constitution. Well, that's because some things are supposed to be self-evident. If these white men left this Constitution for their posterity, then we would expect their descendants to be white too, right?
They
didn't imagine that we would allow ourselves to be flooded with Negroes and with Mexicans and with Jews and with all these other races. They couldn't imagine that. And I was jesting with a couple of people on this chat server last night with North Pal, who's actually an American transplanted in Canada. There I go. In Canada. And if they call them Canadians, why don't we call the place Canada? we were jesting last night that if the founding fathers were resurrected today and walked through any part of this country, they would be in a quandary. They would want to know what war we have lost.
Yeah.
That's what they would be asking ourselves. What war did we lose? Who attacked it? You know, we left this great nation behind. Who attacked it and defeated it? Nobody. Mm. They'd be scratching their heads how we're overrun with aliens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I asked this question because we had in history something like Spanish language is taking over the English language. And, well, I said something like, that is not positive because it's destroying the identity of United States. And they were like, well, there is no specific identity, starting the teacher to say, because in the Constitution there is no, national language. And then...
Well, language is not nationality, and your teacher's a liar. Because it's left to the founders and their prosperity. And if you go look at Christigenia, on the top menu, under discussion, you will see something called historical documents. And the submenu under historical documents, you'll see Adams, Jubilee of the Constitution. John Quincy Adams gave a speech on the 50th anniversary of the Constitution to a group in New York, and that's the text of that speech. And he understood America to have been founded by white people for white people, and he expresses that in that speech.
Well, and there's this German girl who is, international. She came in here, and she was looking at me like, does America have an identity? And she asked me, and I was like, how can you ask that? You know, because, yeah, it has an identity. And people don't know. People think that America, it was a country for all kinds of people.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, America is an Anglo-Saxon nation. It's always going to be an Anglo-Saxon nation. This situation we're in today is a temporary situation. And everybody else who's a hyphenated American probably doesn't belong here. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they can't be part of that original posterity.
Well, it's a shame in this country, isn't it? I mean, it's all going along the same lines.
Well, that's the Jewish plan. That's Satan's plan to the destruction of our race, is to immigrate it and bring in massive immigration from outside and do it in stages. In the United States, they brought in people from Eastern and Southern Europe. Now, most of those people were white. I have no problem with that. But the problem is they brought large amounts of them into this nation in a very short period of time, and those people did not have the same experience as the German and English people who were here before, so they didn't have the same education as to the value of our liberty. And since they didn't understand it, that they voted and made their political decisions with a very different spirit. And it caused a great division in this nation.
Yeah.
Early on. I'm talking about the 1880s, 1890s, 1910, 1920, all through there.
Wow.
I'm sure that all those white people from Southern Europe and Eastern Europe would have been able to assimilate a lot better if they'd have been brought in slowly and educated in proper American history and American ideals. But, of course, that was not Satan's plan for America, right?
Well, I mean, in this country this week, the Archbishop of Canterbury has gone over to East Africa to have a chat with Robert Mugabe about what the Christian community going in East Africa. And even in the British Israel Bible Truth Fellowship magazine, it's got in one of their articles, hang on, I've got to find it. For this reason, an increasing number of African Christians are coming over to the UK acting as missionaries. They come because they feel that British Christianity needs to be restored to its former beliefs in order to avert a spiritual catastrophe on a national scale. And that's probably why the Archbishop of Canterbury has trotted over to East Africa to get more missionaries to come here. And I mean, it's all ridiculous.
Well, more or less, you know, the first step on a road to hell is the embrace of the Jew, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely repulsive. It's absolutely disgusting. I can't quantify it with a single adjective. But that's the state our people are in, and they brought it upon themselves.
The other thing was this last week, they wanted to change things to the common era. So they changed, you know, when they said 1 AD, they wanted to say common era and wipe out any allusion to Christianity's date. And the Archbishop of Canterbury said he didn't lose any sleep over it. I mean, where's that man coming from?
But it's ridiculous to use the term common era. It just doesn't make any sense. And if you change the description, you're not changing the actual computation of time. Still working from the time of Christ. So none of it makes sense. Other than, of course, to eradicate any reference to Christianity in...
Well, right, so that's why I like to call CE the Christian era and BCE before the Christian era.
Yes, that's interesting. But why didn't the Archbishop of Canterbury understand this? I mean...
Because he has no backbone, because he's a Jewish shill. That's how he got that position.
Yeah, that's true.
Catholic.
Yeah. Especially after the embarrassment they just had with, didn't Roland or whatever his name was, didn't they just have a serious embarrassment over the Holocaust? What, wasn't that with the Archbishop of Canterbury, or maybe he had another position?
Oh, I can't recall.
What, Richard Williamson, what was his position?
Oh, Bishop Williamson, but he's not part of the Anglican Church.
Oh, he's a Catholic. That's right. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. But from which country? He was interviewed in Swedish. And he was in Canada.
Well, they're persecuting him now.
Yeah.
No, he was in Germany. He was in Germany and he was interviewed by a Swedish...
Right. An interviewer.
They promised it would not be aired in Germany, but it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a question for those in England. I heard that many women turn to Islam, they adopt the Muslim religion. And I even read an article of a young woman, white woman, of course, English woman, who said that she had a very immoral life, and she used to party, drink, and all that, until she met Muhammad, I don't know how, and she understood how important religious is, and she became elevated spiritually by becoming Muslim. Is that common in England?
I would think that the media is probably trying to pick out a couple of cases and elevate those cases as examples so that they could trick more young white people. And Christianity, as it's offered by mainstream churches, is morally bankrupt. That's not Christianity. It's morally bankrupt.
In the numbers who are taking the Muslim religion are growing in England and Europe. Like in England, there are some thousands of white people who adopted, some thousands.
And that's a damn shame, but that's the outcome. You know, if you seek morals, if you understand there's a problem with your lifestyle in England, and you seek a foundation that has any morals whatsoever, well, Islam appears on the surface. It's a very immoral religion, the people that practice it, and I could talk about them, but it appears on the surface to be very moral, while the Jews had debased Christianity to the point where homosexuals can be bishops, where sexual deviants can get married in front of everybody in a church.
Yeah.
So people have to reject that, but none of that's biblical and none of it's Christian. So they're chasing people from the arms of one devil to the arms of another.
I don't think there's a great movement of women into Islam because here Sharia law is getting a very bad press because under Sharia law women have no rights whatsoever.
Well, right, and I believe that, but I think that also they take a couple of cases and put them on pedestals, trying to entice more people to show them that this is normal, because the Jews invented Islam, as far as I'm concerned, and I've expressed that on quite a few programs recently, and even if it's not entirely true, I'll still blame them for it. The Jews invented Islam, I believe, and it came as a response to their being excoriated from the Byzantine Empire, and they used the Arab peoples as a scourge against Christianity ever since. And they're still doing that today. And the Jews would be very, very comfortable if all Christians converted to Islam. And then the Jews would have total victory because Islam is a religion that forbids racial distinctions. It's just another way to mix everybody up. It worked very effectively in Northern Africa. And in Parthia, in Persia.
It is a little bit like, I don't know, funny for someone to write great Jewish inventions and you'll just imagine this crowd running to buy the book. And then in the book, actually you write all the negative things they've done and how evil they are. And I think they'll get a great surprise.
Well, they need it. They need a great surprise, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else do we have today? I see we have an Otto here. Hello, Otto. I tried to greet you before in a type chat, but I don't know if you saw it. Somebody new.
Yeah. The man of Dan is there. This is very good thing. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh, yes, he's been around, but you never know when he's awake and when he's sleeping.
Yeah.
What nationality is Otto?
Well, he has an American flag on his name, so he's here somewhere, right?
Oh.
Yeah, you can click on it.
Ah.
You see Otto, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, database 116, unique identity. Yeah.
Hello, Otto, and welcome to Christigenia. I'll unmute you if you have a microphone. If you want to talk. If you have any questions. Do you have a microphone? Yes, you do.
Something
Otto. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Otto. It's me.
There's a little feedback, but
Well, I'm sorry, I don't really think I have much to offer. I was just kind of curious and wanted to listen in. I visit the website pretty frequently and listen to your audio files on there. But I don't think I have much to offer, so I was just listening. Sorry.
Well, no, you don't have to apologize for that. That's great.
Anyway, though.
Right, you don't have to apologize for that. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're listening and welcome. This is a 24/7 chat server, right? You can come any evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to shut Otto's mic off because he has some feedback and it's better. What else do we have today? What else are they doing to us in Europe?
Oh, from Arizona. Okay, he's from Arizona. Yeah.
What's going on with what's going on with the economies in Greece and Spain? I know they were in rough shape a couple of months ago, and I had some news bulletins, but I haven't kept up on it.
Well, the economy is still bad. I don't see any improvements whatsoever. It's really hard to find a job and impossible to start a business to be independent. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Well, I know that there were protests back a few months ago. There were protests in Spain and in Greece, but I haven't heard anything lately.
Oh, they're still happening.
Yeah, there were some protests, but some of them were... there were some good protests and some bad protests because some of them were like hippies and they were completely wrong about everything. But, well, at least they protested.
Well, there have been protests here in New York these last couple of weeks and on Wall Street. But yeah, the protesters have issued lists of demands that are absolutely Marxist in every nature.
Nope.
Every one of their demands are absolutely Marxist demands.
I mean, it's the same thing in Spain. They protest, but they don't actually know what it's all about. I mean, they are protesting in the wrong way.
Well, right, because Marxism is not the answer. Jewish Marxism is not the answer to Jewish capitalism, right? It's just not. There's a group here called Occupy Wall Street, and one of the people that Northpaw that frequents my chat server put up a list, a little article about them, and a list of their demands on his website, cockroachalley.com. And their demands are restoration of the living wage, institute a universal single payer healthcare system, guaranteed living wage income regardless of employment. Well, how do you earn a wage if you're not employed? What is the definition of a wage?
We've got a country full of people like that who get wages and are not employed.
Well, right, exactly, Taya. Free college education. Begin a fast-track process to bring the fossil fuel economy to an end.
Yes. Yes.
$1 trillion in infrastructure spending now, and I'm sure all the bridges will fall down because they'll have nothing but Negroes building them, Asians designing them.
Yes.
$1 trillion in ecological restoration planting. But what have we really?
I've seen this here. I mean, there is some restoration work in my university, and all the workers are Mexicans and Indians. I wonder why they don't hire white people.
Mexicans and Romanian?
No, and Indians. Yeah, Indians, and Amerindians, like, people, I mean.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm just picking on you a little. I didn't think they had Mexicans and Romanians.
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe they...
In the sense of mestizo, mixed people, that I could understand, right? Yeah, I understand your use of the word. I'm just picking on you. Well, anyway, I wonder if these Marxists know that planting more trees causes more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. I wonder if they know that.
No.
Racial and Gender Equal Rights Amendment. There you have it, demand number 8. Now you know who's behind it. There's nothing but Jews behind this. Open borders migration. Anywhere, anyone can travel anywhere to work and live. Occupy Wall Street. These are the demands. All these demands help Wall Street. Every one of them. Every one of these demands help Wall Street. It's absolutely incredible. You have that there has to be plutocrats behind Occupy Wall Street. The Jews have to be behind this. How about this? Outlaw all credit reporting agencies. How about that one? That's the housing market here crashed because it had an incredible number of bad loans issued to people that didn't deserve them, right? Well, now they want to do that to the entire financial market. It's just another way to that's a surreptitious way to transfer wealth from the middle class to the aliens, the non-working aliens. It is by issuing them credit that they know that they're not going to repay.
Yes, it's so sick. It's so sick. I really have to cut myself off from it sometimes to get my
equity. Yes, it can be quite overwhelming.
Disgusting. Yeah. The whole thing is disgusting.
Yeah.
We've got on this evening a program called Mixed Race Britannia on television, and there's 1 in 10 mixed race live in multiracial households. I mean,
10%.
So I should be interested to see that because first time they've actually got a program like this together. If that's not blatant propaganda, I don't know what is.
Well, of course it is. Absolutely.
People fall for it. They're so gullible.
They fall for it all the time. They fall for it here in America. That's pretty blatant, though, mixed race Britannia. That's absolutely blatant.
Yes, it is. That's the headline.
Imagine. Yeah.
I might have some fun with that. That's universalism. That's what I like to call it now.
How do they dare?
I was just going to say, once they're here, there's no way of getting rid of them. Doesn't matter how many crimes they commit. They have this human rights, the European Convention on Human Rights, this Article 8. Once they use that, which gives them a right to family life, there was a case this week where the Home Secretary said that a man had used his cat as his excuse for not being deported, a criminal, an illegal immigrant who was a criminal, because of his cat, his cat was part of his joint family life with his boyfriend. Gets worse. This cat, and I'm quoting now, reinforced the quality of that family life. And that's a British judge.
And a Jewish lawyer.
I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
And probably a Jewish boyfriend.
You couldn't make this up, could you?
No.
Isn't that hypocrisy? Because all these people, they have human rights to do everything. And don't we have the rights to live in a white society and be protected and without aliens? It's hypocrisy.
Yes. Right at all. We've got no rights.
All right, it's taken
away. That's what it boils down to. But we just have to keep fighting.
No, mm-hmm. Johan considers like the rights of the population. I noticed that the rights of this immigrants, and I don't mean like, well, there are Romanian immigrants here, and what they did, you know, there are like 1 million people from Morocco, from an Arabic country, and from mm-hmm. many. Mestizos and everything, but still the European Union told Spain to forbid Romanians to come here and work without a pass. Still, it's not the big majority in Spain. There are other more people, and I think they did this on purpose because they are white. But still, they allow all these Mexicans and all these Arabs to come here and work and not pay taxes and everything, and I'm saying that the world is against white people. Practically, they have no rights.
That's right. And mm-hmm. here, the sort of illegal immigrants who are being allowed in are people like Somalis. These Somalis mm-hmm. are the same people who are pirates and human traffickers, white slavers, and only last week they captured and ran off with two white women, you know, and killed one of the woman's husband. You know, on our borders we allow them in, and they're over there they're enslaving our people. And asking for huge ransoms in the process. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Well, the fault lies with the men of our race.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Especially those who are supposed to be ruling.
I mean, I see it's hard for people to wake up. I think between my classmates, I think that I'm the only person who thinks straight there, because, for instance, we had in a class something like the teacher put us a video about, it was about gender school and college school, but anyway, a video about girls doing better in school, and it was like a list of what women wanted in America in the 50s, 60s, something like that. And in the list, there was like the first thing on the list was family, children, husband, having like cooking, and the last thing was career. And to be honest, when that clip came, most of the girls in my class were like they took a sit back, and I don't know, like, was like, like going backwards, how could that be? And even a girl who standing in front of me turned and she said, oh no, that's not my priority. And I know people like feminism is hit it hard because people don't see like family is such important. They basically live first. And anyway, people like teenagers, young people have wrong idea of what is liberal, what is a conservative, what is an anarchist. I talked with some of my colleagues and it was complete messed up. And they said, oh, we hate conservative people. They think there's all the theory of that the state is against people, and they are completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know when people will wake up.
No.
Yeah.
And it's for me, for instance, it's hard to find friends and people to talk to because they'll consider me a freak and I cannot explain myself because they don't understand me.
No.
It's very hard.
It's very isolating.
But you're not the only one. I think everybody here is experiencing the same thing.
Yes. Yes. But you work for the Almighty. That's the important bit. If you're working for Him, it's all worthwhile.
but also it's very hard to wake up. I mean, for I always have like something inside me told me that something is wrong with the world. I know I was brainwashed too, and I took things for granted, but still I kept this, maybe there's something wrong with this world, and I always was open to whatever truth I can find, but still many people are just clinging to their false ideas and don't give up and aren't able to see anything behind what they thought.
Well, I think it's Yahweh who opens our eyes, and he does it for a special purpose.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
We're all where we're supposed to be and doing what we're supposed to be doing. And it is lonely and hard.
It's lonely and hard. That's correct. Yeah.
We will recognize the sovereignty of God. That's what it's all about.
Yes. So really, it's very important, you know, all the broadcasts you do. It's sort of, it's like a focal point of our week, really.
Yeah, wherever we are.
But the thing is, it's hard work for you, and, you know, it is.
Well, I have to do it, you know, I try to be walking the dog, right, and going to the bookstore and relaxing, but I have to do it.
Yes.
I just finished this week, and then tomorrow I start next week. I mean, it's...
Yes. Comes around so quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I really wanted to get to the bookstore Sunday, and then I told myself Monday, and...
Yeah.
Then I told myself Tuesday, and that didn't work out, and... I only got about 4 chapters of my Christ-like book proofread this week, so now I'm behind on that. I'm hoping to finish the editing. Well, the proofreading's done. I'm hoping to finish the editing next week. If I don't finish it next week, I'll definitely finish it the following.
Yeah.
And I will have it, Yahweh willing, I will have it on Lulu by the end of this month. That's my goal, anyway. The cover art is done. Aaron did an excellent job on that, and all I have to do is get the book done so that he can do the spine. He can't do the spine until we know how thick the book's going to be. It's already grown by about 30 pages because I added some of my essays to it that I really think are prerequisite to understanding some of the concepts that I expound in it.
Yes. Wow. Wonderful.
So...
Yes, it's a busy life, isn't it, for you?
Well, it's hopefully it'll be a fruitful one, right? That's all that matters.
Yes, wonderful.
It's I don't see anybody else in Christian Identity that has really put together a proactive and successful ministry like this, so I mean, I'll just praise God for that and keep trying my best.
Yeah,
I think it definitely is that spirit of Elijah.
Well, yes. Clifton was the first one that asserted the Christian identity was the spirit of Elijah, so we'll see, right? but I don't see anybody else turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers.
No. Wasn't it in Malachi that he said, keep the Feast of Tabernacles?
But we should still keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And you know, I am very wanting in that area, right? And that's because I really have no reason to, I have nobody to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with, right?
No,
I really don't.
No.
How would they do it, actually, in a northern... I mean, in October. It's October, is it?
Well, it's going to be 60s and 70s all week.
Yes, it's
It got down to 38 this morning, and last night it was probably a little cooler than that, but I mean...
Okay. But here you couldn't do it.
Yes, you could. They're all keyed at the Edinburgh. There's quite a few of Feast of Tabernacle sites, you know, the old worldwide. And there must be hundreds of people going to these sites. And you know that they have good weather. They've got their harvest. The principle is you've got your harvest in, and you go off for the week and keep the feast. And then the ploughing season starts after that. So it's all geared to nature. I mean, sometimes you might have rain, but you heed it.
Where do you go? Where are you going to go?
I suggested to come to Spain because Carl doesn't seem to come here, so it's nice and sunny.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Well, I'm going to keep half the feast. I'm going on a coach trip for a few days on my own.
But I find it difficult to identify with the physical way of doing it, and without feeling as though it's artificial.
It's a reminder, isn't it? You're sleeping in booth. It's a reminder that it's like
get children through.
Well, I must say that, you know, I've been doing it for about 30 years, and after that you understand the seasons. But if I hadn't been taught that when I went into worldwide, I would probably feel the same as you.
Right.
Well, to be honest with you, even long before I got into Christian Identity, when I had children that I was raising and a family, this was my camping season.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And that's because it's really the best bass fishing, right? I'm being honest, right?
Yes, but the fish is there, isn't it? You're under temporary cover.
Well,
you're living in a booth.
Well, if I had the opportunity, that's where I would be right now, is bass fishing, right?
Yeah,
I think I'll take my sleeping bag down into the conservatory. Perhaps that's temporary cover.
Yes.
Well, I think that, you know, Tabernacles is more about the communion with your kin than it is about where you're having it. Yeah, you know, but since it's a good idea for everybody to go out and go camping or something like that, because you're away from the modern distractions and you might actually get to spend some time with them without televisions and all those things, right?
Yes. It's just that
it's the communion that's important, and I see that in all of the feasts. That to me is what's most important. Caring for the body of Christ, for our brethren, paying attention to each other and doing things for each other. That's what's important.
Yes, well, that principle does take place in these feast sites in England. Thus they still gather to be with the other brethren. That's what it, you know, main thing. But anyway, if one can't get there, or how long they will go on, because I have heard that they're trying desperately to do away with Sabbath. They're trying to now ask make people keep the Sunday, so people are just drift off to their local churches. You see, they're breaking it down bit by bit. Whether that comes into being, they're going to give an ultimatum. So slow. It's just a breakdown. They want to break it up. That's the real reason. But, you know, since the the principle, isn't it, really? Keeping the feast days.
Yeah.
And that, after that, it actually, in this country, they fall quite nicely, you know, the spring feast days and then the autumn. Anyway.
Well, we should keep them, and you're right.
I'm looking forward to getting on this coach.
Well, according to Ken Lent, and I hate to throw any darts in what you're about to do. I don't want you to think any less of what you're about to do, right?
No.
Paul tells us not to let any man judge us concerning feasts and Sabbaths and new moons, right? And whenever I talk about feasts, I'm talking about them in that context, right? But I had contacted Ken Lent last week, and Ken Lent is, I think he's probably one of the better identity people when it comes to calculating the calendar, right? But he took his website down, solarsabbath.org, and he took it down, and I feel kind of bad about it, because he took it down partially for the cost, for what it was costing him, and I would have done it for him for nothing. I would have hosted his website if I knew that he was going to take it down, but he wants to pull back and do some other things for a while, and hopefully he'll be back soon, but he had one of the more accurate calendars, I believe, right? I really do. To me, we're not going to get, I understand it, there's always going to be disputes over the calendar, because we just don't have all the information. And that's why you have never seen me get involved in a calendar dispute, right? The only calendar dispute I would get involved in are the clowns with the noon day, right? Yeah, you know, because they're just being ridiculous with that noon to noon day. That's just stupid. Mm. And that guy that started that garbage is, it's amazing the way we develop heresies. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I always deferred to Ken Lent on the calendar, because I thought it was careful. No calendar can be perfect, but he's careful about trying to make it somewhat accurate. According to the summer and winter solstice. And I really do think that it's most probable that the ancient Hebrews did start their year on that spring equinox, right?
Yes.
You know, that's the most likely date. And that would mean that the seven-day Sabbath cycle really does change every year.
Yeah, that's right.
Perhaps the seven-day Sabbath cycle was continuous, but perhaps that would still cause the days that the feast days fell on to differ every year, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Well, like one year Passover might be on a Sabbath, the next year it might be 3 days after a Sabbath. And I think that that's what we're seeing in Judea at the time of Christ, with the two different calendars, because the Jews have a different calendar than Christ had. You know, when Christ and his apostles celebrated the Passover, they didn't say that they were celebrating it early. The apostles didn't even really understand that Christ was about to be crucified. So they would have had no reason to think that they would have had to celebrate the Passover on a different day. But it's very clear that they celebrated the Passover 2 days before the official date in Jerusalem.
That's right.
Very clear that two different calendars were going on, that there should be no doubt about that. Well, anyway, Ken Lent calculated the feast days for this year for me, because I had a couple of inquiries, and I just didn't think to send it out on my mailing list or anything. But anybody that inquired, I informed them that according to his calculation, the Feast of Tabernacles started on the evening of October 4th.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's when I count for the equinoxes.
I just thought I'd bring that up, right? Yeah. The Day of Atonement was the evening of September 28th or 29th or something like that, right?
Yeah, right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I would like to try to get Ken to do a multi-year calendar for me that I can post on Christogenia so that I can just refer people to that calendar when they have questions and explain to them, look, I'm not the calendar guy, but here, I think this guy is probably one of the better calendar guys, and you can go check his calendar out.
I think that would be very useful.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, that would be very useful. Because a lot of people ask me about when do they keep the feast, you know, the feast days.
Well, I would have hosted his website for him, and I'm still going to make him that offer again, you know, or put something up for him. But I hate to see a guy which... he has a very, I think he's, you know, there are things we don't agree on, but, you know, just like Robert Balakaius and I have things that we don't agree on, I still host the website for him because I think that his work is worthy of it, right? But with Ken Lent, I would be glad to put something up for him because I think his work is worthy of it. And he does a lot of excellent work on the Constitution and the Founders also.
So, a lot of work goes into this, isn't there? A lot of work and study.
Well, right. Hopefully one day he'll be back soon.
Yes, good.
But that's his calculation date for the Feast of Tabernacles this year, is that it started two evenings ago.
Right.
Otilia is having a hard time staying connected, I see.
Yeah, up, down.
The rain in Spain is staying mainly on her internet connection, I guess. Well, does my expository on Malachi make sense? That there's nothing else I could get out of that. It's too perfect. It fits this current situation like a glove.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, I know, Betty, you had already commented on my program last Friday, and I appreciated your comments, even if I didn't have time to answer them.
Oh, well.
There's not too much email I've answered. I have, I actually have three email boxes, and another one I have about 3,000 emails, and I haven't even opened it up in ages because it's not active anymore. And in this one, I have 1,728 emails, and I can't. And that's after getting rid of all the junk. I've gotten rid of all the garbage, and I have 1,728. I'll never answer my email.
I certainly don't expect to answer the email. I don't expect it of you. I don't know how you manage it. I can't bear having lots of emails. I have to keep it all clear. I mean, I wouldn't know what to do if I had 1,700 emails.
I would be lost.
I would as well. I'd be overwhelmed. Amazing. Just amazing.
When you were doing the Malachi, and you were talking about the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings, and you mentioned the ancient Aryan symbol of the phoenix. That's the symbol which is, it looks like the German symbol to me.
It's the sun disk. It's the winged sun disk.
Is that what you call it?
I believe that represents the phoenix, right?
Right.
In the earliest times. That's my personal belief. It's the winged sun disk. The phoenix story is the promise of the resurrection in a myth, in a tale. That's the way I see it.
Yes.
In an Egyptian myth, originally. But that winged sun disk, that has been with our race forever. And Christ uses that symbology. And that just, the tithe that Aryan culture and ancient Germanic and Proto-Germanic beliefs have to the, and also the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians, and some fools and Jews and scoffers like to say, and I caught this the other night, right, that the Babylonian myths have some of the same stories that the Hebrew Bible does. Well, no shit, they're the same race. They're the same people. I would hope they had some of the same stories. That proves the Bible is true. It doesn't prove that it's false. And I try to point that out all the time. I probably don't spend enough time on that, but because I could do a lot more in that area. But it's secondary to the general message. But it's important that it's also part of our heritage, and it's all Hebrew. Aside from that, I opened up a copy of the Jewish Archaeology Rag in the bookstore when I was in Binghamton 2 weeks ago. And I was actually not in the bookstore, I was in a Wegmans market, and they sell a lot of magazines, a lot more than I could buy in a store up here. And they had a Biblical Archaeology Review there, and I opened it up, and what did I see but a swastika on a mosaic? And I'll be scanning that soon, as soon as I can get the time to scan it and put it up somewhere.
Oh, good.
And the Jews even admit it's a swastika, but they made some lame excuse that it was used as a decorative motif or something like that in ancient times. Well, it's a swastika on a mosaic in Palestine somewhere, so that was interesting. Little things like that always help make people think, I believe.
Sure. The puzzle piece. Yeah. Oh, that's prime. Oh.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to say good night.
Good night,
Dorcas. Yeah. I'm sorry, Dorcas. Well, maybe she's gone. I tried to say good night, and I had my mic. I had my mic muted. Otilia, the rain in Spain is really interfering with your internet connection, isn't it? That's a silly joke. I know I just used it a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
I better turn her microphone on if I expect a reply from her, right?
Yeah, there it is.
Okay. Rain, it didn't rain since a lot in Spain. Yep, that doesn't exist, that word, rain.
It's just from a silly English movie, or a silly American movie about an English woman.
I don't know.
I can't remember the name of the movie. Mary Poppins. That's it. I think.
It's a good one, no? Silly?
It's silly. It's about a lower class woman who's trained to be an aristocrat who is trained to act like a woman of nobility, right?
Oh.
My Fair Lady. Papa can't correct me. It's My Fair Lady. It probably is. That shows you how good I know movies. I don't know.
Actually, the movies that are today, they're very bad. Extremely bad.
Well, I've probably only seen about 24 movies my entire life, would be my estimate, if I've seen that many. But yes, I saw that movie when I was a child.
I recently seen Alien. It's an old movie. So
it was different. And of course, they had to put a black person there as usual. In any movie, they have to put other race because if not, it's not a movie.
The only movies, Icelander is saying that the only movies he sees are have something to do with history. Yeah, but they're all on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, okay. I'm going to end the pro. I guess we're out of steam here because there's not a lot happening, and 2 hours is probably plenty. And my dog will be very happy. I want to thank everybody for being here, and may God bless you all.
Thank you. See you in 2 weeks.
Good night, everybody. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. Oh, she's helping.